The Upstate's home for the 18-time NL East champs, the Atlanta Braves.
Here's Michael Harris. Michael swings and hits one way up in the air. Deep right center field. Back to the wall it goes. Streaking out of the ballpark. It's a two-run home run by Michael Harris as the kid strikes again.
We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
Hour number two of the program here on a Monday with Fax and Childress and John Haidt on the Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in on the phone lines or the Adams Go Roofing text line. Texter gets in and says, Profar will be back on Wednesday. I would play him in left and Eli White in center. I don't necessarily disagree with you. I will say this. It took a grand total of one inning for Eli White to make a defensive mistake in center field on a ball that I thought Michael Harris would have grabbed. With that being said, I will take five more defensive mistakes in center if that's what it takes to get Michael Harris's bat out of this life. You want to talk about rat poison? Michael Harris's bat is the ultimate rat poison to the lineup for the Atlanta Braves. So he hasn't had a walk in over 120 plate appearances, John. And to further on that point, he has the worst OPS of qualified hitters in baseball, the worst WRC plus of qualified hitters in baseball. You don't need me to bore you with the rest of the stats. He's the worst player in baseball right now at the plate in Michael Harris. So I think it was the right decision to sit him down from Snitker. Obviously, things didn't necessarily go the Braves' way this weekend for a plethora of reasons, but it just is what it is, man. I mean, at some point you have an identity and at some point you are who you are. And I would like to believe that they're going to be able to crawl out of this at some point. I don't want to make it a now or never thing, but you really need to make some headway before the break with the All-Star break if you want a realistic chance of making a playoff push in the second half, in my opinion, especially because of what the schedule showcases down the stretch here in this first half. Texter gets in and says, also have to account that Nick Allen's summer break is almost over and he will be returning to high school. You can guess who that is, John, with our number one Nick Allen hater on the text line and Chad the Mailman. I don't think Nick Allen's that bad. I don't think Nick Allen's
that bad. Once again, Nick Allen isn't bad if batters 6, 7, yes, and 8 are better around him.
Yeah.
He is giving you exactly what you were paying him for.
Nick Allen, higher batting average than Ozzie Albies, Michael Harris, same batting average currently as Eli White, higher batting average than Sean Murphy, and 4 batting average points lower than Marcell Ozuna. Just food for thought on Nick
Allen. Which by Wednesday, it'll be ahead of Marcell Ozuna.
Yes, agree with that as well. Nick Allen's low-key swinging a better bat as of late, John. Don't call it a comeback. Don't call it a comeback, but Nick Allen's batting average was about .210 3 weeks ago. We're up .242. So keep grinding away, Nick. I'm a Nick Allen fan. I know that I'm probably one of the only ones, but I like watching him play defense. Texter gets in and says, can you talk about Snitker keeps pinch hitting Drake with 2 outs and nobody on in the 8th just to have runners in scoring position in the 9th? Again, 0-8-1. My overall take on the Snitker saga right now in Atlanta is that there's mutual blame to be placed with him and Anthopoulos, because while I don't agree with Snitker's decision making, I do believe that a better bench would produce different decisions. So when you really only have one viable option on your bench, it hinders what you can do as a coach. Do I think Snitker is the right man for the job? No. I've been very vocal about the fact that I think there should be a different route taken with who the manager is for the Atlanta Braves. But while he is still the manager, you got to back the manager. And in this case scenario with this Drake ball, like, I don't agree with the decision that he's making. Let me make that abundantly clear, 0-8-1. I don't think that this is the right decision, even with the limited bench options he has available to him. However, I will say, with a better bench, I think you would see different decision making, and that's where I feel more inclined to blame Alex Anthopoulos, who has assembled what I believe to be the worst bench in Major League Baseball. So that's where I'm at on the whole pinch hitting situation. Should Snitker make different decisions? Yes. Should the team have a better bench and more depth? Also, simultaneously, yes. Chad says, Allen is Michael Harris at shortstop. If there are two positions on the diamond that I want to prioritize defense, it's going to be shortstop and center field. And again, John and I will reiterate the point that if Ozuna, Riley, and Albies and Murphy were playing up to their standard, then Harris and Allen's struggles would be water under the bridge. But at the end of the day, it's everyone underperforming on the team outside of Acuna and Olsen that are sparking a little bit bigger of an issue. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in. We're going to get Bengal John on the phone lines here. John, it's good to hear from you. How we doing?
What's going on, man?
What's going on, brother? How we living?
Good. I'm so excited that I get to talk to you. Haven't had a chance to call into your show and you and John there for a few months now, or a couple of months, but it's great to talk to you guys. I'm really, really excited about my LSU baseball Tigers.
Oh yeah, congratulations!
One in 23, and then again in 25. That's 8 national championships, and that ball club's been to Omaha more than just about anybody, I think, if not the most. But and they always show out in the postseason. I heard a comment the other day, I think you guys will like, that LSU may falter during the regular season. There were games that they struggled with, and of course the SEC was really, really good in baseball this year, so maybe it was competition. But you look back over the course of the last few years, 10 years, that team has been to Omaha, and when they get in the postseason, they're really, really tough to beat. So I'm really, really proud of them. Jay Johnson is doing an amazing job. Coastal Carolina put up a fight. That first game was obviously a pitcher's battle, but LSU proved it again. They're really solid in the baseball department for sure.
Oh yeah, I mean that's a powerhouse of a program that obviously possesses special talents each and every year. And then this year specifically, having the projected number one pick with the big arm, holding it down with the complete game shutout in game one, and then coming back to the ballpark in game two against a really good Coastal team that was riding that crazy win streak and taking care of business. It was very impressive for your Tigers, John, and they continue to be a mainstay in the college baseball world.
Yeah. So I'm going to move on from that real quick. I know you guys have time limits, but I'm looking forward. I was telling John, I'm really, really looking forward to this game. I mean, there's a lot of people, this football game, there's a lot of people that think Clemson's just going to walk the dog, and I truly don't believe that. Whether I'm an LSU fan or not, I just don't believe that. I think Garrett Nussmeier and the talent at running back shored up the receiving core for sure. I didn't think it was as great as everybody touted it was last year, but I think it's definitely better. The thing that concerns me, and I think you guys will probably agree, is – defensively, now we went out and got some really, really good talent and some players from the portal that already had experience. So they're not coming in, newbies per se. But the defense is still a question. But I think that question, if it gets answered the way the coaching staff has alluded to during the offseason, I think this game's going to be really, really close. I mean, obviously the line's 2.5, but I truly believe this could be a game where, depending on who has the ball last, has an opportunity to win. I think it's going to be that close. I know Kate Klubnik's talented. I know both of these quarterbacks are potential Heisman candidates. I know Clemson retained a lot of super, super good talent, didn't lose a whole lot of people. I think the questions are less when it comes to Clemson. I think there's continuity there. But if these guys that came in for LSU produce like they're supposed to, or produce like they're predicted to, I truly believe this is a fight. And I think it's really home field advantage at this point is why the line is what it is. I don't know who is actually the better team. I think there's some questions on LSU, but I think they're both very, very talented.
Yeah, those are some interesting takeaways, and I always appreciate getting an LSU guy's perspective on these things because, Clemson fans are feeling very confident, John, and I think that's important to acknowledge. And I will say this. I think a large part of the confidence is sparking from that continuity and the fact that Clemson, played really good football down the stretch last season and won the ACC championship game where Cade Klubnik won the MVP of the game. And then Cade had the best game of his career against a really good Texas team and a really good Texas defense. So it's almost like you went out and like the recency bias element of this is the last we saw of Clemson football was some of the best we've seen of Clemson football in the last 5 years. And I think that's created a confidence within the fan base. And then it goes without saying that the retention and the continuity, all the buzzwords that you hit on, those are all 100% true to be the case with Clemson. And for LSU, you're replacing a lot more and there's a lot more unknown. Another thing I'll say on this is LSU and what they lost on the offensive line is something that I don't think we can, just glaze by as something that's, not a big deal. Losing Will Campbell is a big freaking deal. And now you're starting redshirt freshman at right guard and right tackle and redshirt sophomore at center, left guard, and left tackle. And again, Tyree Adams is a talented player. Chester at center is a good player. Eccles at right guard is a good player. Davis at right tackle is a good player. These are all guys with NFL aspirations one day. But Clemson possesses a little bit more of an experience level at key positions, which right. I think is also creating confidence within the fan base. But I do agree with your overarching theme, which is that LSU isn't some slouch team rolling into Clemson. Like, LSU's a team that has college football playoff aspirations. Brian Kelly is a coach that's under a lot of pressure right now in Baton Rouge, is at least the way that I view it as an outsider looking in. And they need results, right? You want to get back to that mountaintop. You want a taste of what happened once again in 2019. You want to make the college football playoff. You want to be a big-time player in the SEC. You want to get back to Atlanta, to that SEC championship game. And setting the tone against Clemson and a really good Clemson team that has those similar aspirations to start the season would be a big deal for LSU. So I agree. Like, I think the game's going to be competitive. I'm not sure what my overall lean is as of right now, 2 months out, but LSU's a really talented team that definitely has enough talent to beat Clemson on their best day. Clemson's really got to hone in and execute and make sure they take advantage of that home field advantage.
Right, and the one thing that I will say that I think is a question mark, if there's any at all, and they're very few when it comes to Clemson, but I'm interested to see what the running game looks like, because if they force if they force Klubnik to throw the ball more than designed, okay, or more than he wants to, I think that will be an advantage LSU. But because I think the running game is a question, but you know, that's yet to be seen. I got one final point, and I'm going to take it off the air. I think both Klubnik and Nussmeier were in Thibodeau for that Manning camp, were they not?
I want to say that that's correct.
Yes, both of them were.
Both of them were, yes.
I heard Nussmeier say this morning that they had a pretty good relationship. I think that they have, for some reason, they've kind of gelled. I don't know. I thought that both of them were down there, and that's the reason why I kind of prefaced it or the way I said it, because Nussmeier said that he has worked on things during the off season with his legs that, and he's matured. He's got a year under his belt, so I think that's really, really strong. If he has a little bit of mobility more than he had before, that's going to do nothing but help him. We know that Cade Klubnik can move, and we know that he's got arm talent. If Nussmeier can get out of the pocket and throw the ball when he has to, I think that's a huge advantage over last year. But that running back room for LSU is going to be really, really strong Caden Durham leading the way. So, yeah, thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Wonderful talking to you. I hope you have a great week, and happy 4th if I don't talk to you again.
Yes, sir. Happy 4th to you and yours as well, John. We appreciate the call as always, brother. 654-ROAR if you want to check in. And I think those are some good points from Bengal John. I will say this on LSU and on Clemson. A couple points to make before I throw things back to John. Durham and Jackson is an extremely talented tandem of backs. LSU is going to come into this game and try and establish the run early against Clemson, and if Clemson allows them to do that, you could be in for a long night. You have to be able to stifle that run game, and you want, I know he's the projected whatever pick, and I know Nussmeier's really good, and I'm not discounting it. You want this to be a game where Garrett Nussmeier has to throw 50 times to beat you, because if you let Durham and you let Jackson get churning on the ground for 5-6 yards a pop, that's a recipe for success for LSU. I want to ask you specifically, John, about a point Bengal John made about the run game, but I want to take it in a different direction, okay? I want you to think Moneyball, making it up in the aggregate, right? It's a cliche. It's, oh, well, you know, he gets on base. We'll make it up in the aggregate. Immediately what popped into my mind when Bengal John brought up the lack of potential run game for Clemson, which, again, is a fair question to ask given the general level of inexperience in that room in comparison to others, I'm just watching Jalen Milroe run up and down the field in Baton Rouge, still to this day. And I'm thinking about how just mightily this LSU defense struggled against the QB run game last year. You know, whether it be Marcel Reed in Texas A&M, whether it be Sellers in South Carolina, whether it be Milroe in Alabama. Is this a game where you anticipate Cade Klubnik to be able to make impact plays with his legs, given LSU's historic struggles against the QB run game?
I expect Clemson's offense to have success running and passing against this LSU defense. I like the hire of Blake Baker a couple years ago. I like Whit Weeks. I think Jack Pyburn's going to be a nice addition from Florida. I don't think Pat Payton was very good at Florida State last year. Harold Perkins, we have no idea what he's going to be from a health standpoint, let alone productivity standpoint. And they're bringing in essentially an entirely new secondary. Again. So, yeah, I do think you'll find some success. But honestly, I think this is a great spot for Clemson that you're bringing back so much continuity with a whole defense that's got to figure out how to play together. I mean, you're either trotting out some true sophomores at defensive tackle or a couple grad transfers.
Yeah.
You know, I really like Weeks as a Mike linebacker, one of the better ones in the country. But how good is he going to be if Harold Perkins is spending three quarters trying to figure out how to play football again?
You rebuilt your whole secondary in the portal because it was so bad last year. You have a ton of moving pieces on both sides of the football, and you have a ton of youth and inexperience on both sides of the football. Again, not saying Clemson is this impenetrable force that can't be beat. LSU has the talent to beat Clemson on their best day.
Yes,
this is going to be a competitive game, but the question marks are much larger on LSU's side than Clemson's in my eyes.
From known commodities, yes, absolutely. Now, the upside is there for LSU, but let's not act like because it's an SEC defense that the Hunting Badgers back there roaming the secondary.
Yeah, they had a really bad defense last year.
They've had a bad defense for the last several years. Like, it has not been good for, three seasons now?
Right.
I like some of the pieces. I think they're trending in the right direction. Like I said, Blake Baker was a phenomenal hire when they made it.
Yes.
But it does not happen overnight. It's going to take time. It's going to take personnel. It's going to take the personnel that you bring in, putting the work in.
Yeah.
And so against this type of an offense, but the one that's the beauty of a matchup like this, because I can sit here and talk about all the unproven commodities on the LSU defense and all the things that I have questioned about. Clemson stinks it up in season openers the last couple seasons. Plays right into the LSU defense hands if the offense is sputtering, right?
Yeah.
To help make for a really good football game.
Listen, this is going to be a rock fight, right? And let's face it, because I've seen a couple texts on the Adams Co-Roofing text line that are along the lines of, oh, well, LSU can't play in openers, we're fine. You want to check those last couple years for Clemson? They haven't necessarily been great either. Again, I'm the biggest Cade Klubnik fan on planet Earth. You guys know that if you've listened to any of my shows throughout the past 4 years. Cade Klubnik's 0-2 in openers as the quarterback for Clemson football. He is. And that's something that has to be acknowledged in this. Not saying that that's Cade's fault entirely. Clemson has 10 combined points in those two games. Clemson in their last two openers is averaging 5 points per game of offense. 5 points per game against Duke and Georgia, respectively. Now, was the game against Duke like the biggest fluke in life history where you fumbled three times on the goal line and Robert Gunn couldn't make a kick? Yes, there's some context. And then against Georgia, were you playing a college football playoff caliber team and starting the wrong wide receivers to the point where it was like borderline malpractice? Yes, also the truth. Yes. But those games happened and those things happened and that does have to be acknowledged. So yes, all of these things to be said before we take a quick break. Clemson should be the favorite in this game. They're the better team. They have more talent. They have more known commodities. But LSU is a team that is hungry and looking to shake narratives of their performance in openers as well. And Brian Kelly's on the hot seat. I don't see a lot of people talking about it for whatever reason, and he's not one of the first names that gets mentioned on these clickbait lists. I think Brian Kelly's just as much on the hot seat as anybody else in the country entering this season. I would be borderline irate if I were an LSU fan with the way that the Kelly era has transpired, considering the level of talent that some of those teams have possessed and the inability to make baseline level adjustments on the defensive side of the football. So there's a lot to discuss. We'll continue to discuss it in the upcoming segment of the program with Faxon and John right here on The Roar. We also have some NBA breaking news in relation to a Clemson player and also a couple more Clemson, Victor Locke and Chase Hunter, etc. things to hit in the upcoming segment. So we'll get to that as well here on The Roar.
At Lake Kiwi Ford and Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, we offer transparent pricing. You get the manufacturer's rebate, you get the dealer discount, you get every available discount, military, college grad, subprime credit. If there's a discount you qualify for, we'll find it and give it to you. That's how Lake Kiwi guarantees you get the best price. And that's why if you buy somewhere else, you're gonna pay too much. So come see us, we're on Highway 123 between Seneca and Clemson, and always open at lakekiwiautogroup.com.
See dealer for details. Did you hear that? Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford offer transparent pricing, meaning you get every available discount. And right now, the discounts are huge because at Lake Kiwi, it's the final days of employee pricing for everyone. You pay what the factory worker pays, not a penny more. And the best part, with Lake Kiwi's transparent pricing, you see all of the savings. So go see the team at Lake Kiwi. They're on Highway 123 between Seneca and Clemson and always open at LakeKiwiAutoGroup.com.
Tired of the same old look? Want to get a fresh, stylish haircut for the summer? Rooster's Grooming is the place to be. With highly skilled barbers and a comfortable, relaxed environment, Rooster's Grooming offers a unique grooming experience that's second to none. Whether it's a classic cut or a modern style, their team can make it happen. So why wait? Get your summer haircut at Rooster's Grooming. Make an appointment today by calling 864-884-8920. Rooster's Grooming, where style meets tradition.
If you think Taco Bell is only for late night, you are mistaken. Taco Bell is also for daytime, which is why it's introducing the new Cantina Chicken menu. With new Cantina Chicken tacos, burrito, and quesadilla. And new ingredients like seasoned slow-roasted chicken, freshly prepared pico de gallo, shredded purple cabbage, and even a new avocado verde salsa packet. It's the Taco Bell for when it's not late night.
Whoa, not just late night. Try the new Cantina Chicken menu now. At participating U.S. Taco Bell locations while supplies last. Contact store for participation with spares.
It's boating season, and Eclipse Marine Seneca and Clemson Marina can help you find the boat of your dreams before July 4th. Shop top brands including Veranda, Crestliner, Lund, Bayliner, Pinecraft, and more at Eclipse Marine Seneca and Clemson Marina. Whether you're looking to buy or rent a boat or service your boat by certified Yamaha technicians, Clemson Marina can get you on the water. Don't let the summer pass you by. Visit Eclipse Marina Seneca or Clemson Marina to explore new and pre-owned boats, take out a rental, or service your boat with certified Yamaha technicians.
Spring is a time of growth, but it can also reveal hidden problems beneath your home. Call Canty Foundation Specialist for a free inspection of the cracks in your walls, uneven floors, and sticking doors. These are signs you shouldn't ignore. Canty provides expert solutions to protect your home. Visit CantyCanFixIt.com or call 864-403-5263. Canty Foundation Specialists.
Canty Can Fix It.
Hi friends, Mickey Pollard here. I would be delighted if you joined us Tuesday, 6 to 9 a.m. for the Mickey Pollard Show right here on The Roar. Dr. Milt Lauder, sports and performance psychologist, will be here. I'm going to ask him about the Ronald Acuna and hustling issue. Also, we'll get with Tony Morrell of TheBigSpur.com talking Gamecock football. We're going to get into the hype factor and the big expectations for Clemson, Georgia, and South Carolina and how that might affect the season. Tuesday, 6 to 9 for the Mickey Pollard Show right here on The Roar.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John. Now let's get back to the show.
We welcome you back in, everybody.
Facts on Sports with Faxon and John continues right here on The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in with us. John, much to discuss in this upcoming segment. Before we get to some NBA breaking news in relation to Clemson basketball and also give you guys a little bit of an update on the world of Clemson basketball relating to the NBA, do you have any closing comments on LSU, Clemson, the saga, the buildup? I'm sure we'll cover it extensively over the course of the next 2 months, but I did appreciate Bengo John sparking the conversation from an LSU side of things this morning.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I do appreciate Bengo John always getting in. If you'd like to get in, 6-5 Roar is the number. There's one thing, and listen, I'm glad to hear Bengo John sing the praises of Caleb Durham, the running back, Caden Durham. Yeah, I think he is somebody that really emerged last year when the LSU run game was not existent.
Yeah.
So I think he is going to garner a lot of attention, and deservedly so. But do you remember the last time Clemson had to try to cover Barry and Brown down in the Gator Bowl against Kentucky? Did not go particularly well. Some would say he is still running and trying to score touchdowns against that Clemson defense.
Yeah, that kid's ridiculously good at football.
Well, he is on this LSU team now.
He is.
You have Nick Anderson transferring over from Oklahoma, extremely talented if he can get healthy. You have Aaron Anderson as well, who I thought was a nice bright spot, the former Alabama transfer.
Yeah, he was really good last year.
We are going to see very quickly this new look secondary for Clemson.
Yes.
We are going to find out very quickly what we have. I feel very good about the front seven. I do think some of the run fits and the tackling and some of those things will be better this year. Or at least it needs to be. That's what the money is for. But you're going up against a passing attack here with a lot of speed, a lot of talent. We feel very good about Avion Terrell. I liked what we saw at a true freshman, Ashton Hampton. And we feel confident when Jaden Lucas is healthy about his abilities. Not to mention Khalil Barnes at nickel. But boy, is this going to test these new safeties. This passing attack from LSU is really going to test the new safeties for Clemson. Whether that be a Kylan Griffin, a Ricardo Jones, Rob Billings. I mean, if they move Shelton Lewis around or Ronan Hanifin. It's going to be a big day for that secondary, which I love Austin's text. You got to bring pressure to Nussmeier. Absolutely.
Yes.
That's why you go out and get Will Helton to pair opposite TJ Parker, and you go attack these brand new tackles for LSU. But when you're just looking at, comparing depth charts right now, that wide receiver room with a quarterback that I believe could be the number one overall pick next spring, you're going to have to bring your A game. You're going to have to bring your A game in Death Valley. Because I do believe that passing attack from LSU will be ready to fire right out the gate.
Yeah, I agree with pretty much all of it. And I think that the overall theme there as well about taking pressure off of Nussmeier is going to be huge. Because if there is a weakness on the defense or a group that I have a little bit of skepticism in entering the season, I think it's fair to say that it's the secondary, because that's where we have the least amount of familiar faces. That's where you have the most inexperience. That's where you have the most turnover in relation to the roster and lack of continuity. Now, it's not to say that I don't believe in those players, and same for you. We believe in these guys. We think these guys are good. We both have very lofty expectations for this group this year, but game one, week one against dogs on the outside. Like, Baron Brown's an NFL dude, man. Anderson had 850 yards last year at LSU.
Both Andersons and Brown are NFL players.
Yes, like all three of these receivers are NFL dudes at the end of the day. So you're going to have to find a way to hunker down and stifle this offense. And this could be a game that gets high scoring, is the way that I kind of view and project it. And guess what? If you've watched LSU football the last, six seasons, then yeah, a game is more times than not going to be high scoring. But I think that's going to be the key for Clemson, is how can that secondary stack up against a talented group and crop of receivers like LSU? But also, John, I welcome the challenge.
I absolutely welcome the challenge.
You get to stack.
It's a challenge nonetheless.
You get to see where you stack up week one, game one. Sign me up. You know where your weaknesses are week one, game one, man. That's the benefit of playing a top 15 team in the country like LSU, is if you're going to get exposed, I'd rather get exposed in week one where I've still got games in the bank where I can go in the film room and say, hey, we got to shore this up or we're not going to the playoff. Or, hey, this is where we need to fix. We need a schematic tweak here. We should have been in cover four here. We should have been in man here. I love getting these things out in the air week one, as opposed to, no disrespect, playing an FCS school where you don't really figure anything out against your group and it's a scheduled win, right? You don't learn anything as a coach during an FCS game. You don't. And it's no disrespect to those guys. We love a lot of our FCS schools, but I prefer this and playing one of the big boy opponents that's a top 15 team in the land, week one, game one, because you know what you need to work on. And guess what? Everybody was all up in arms about the Georgia game last year, and I heard from everyone and their mother that I've ever known in my life as a Metro Atlanta native after we got blown off the field. But you know what? You knew that the wide receivers weren't it. You knew what needed to be fixed on the defense in relation to the run game very immediately. And while those didn't get fixed throughout the course of the season for an onslaught of reasons, the receivers were fixed the very next week. And guess what happened the very next week? Brian Wesco Jr. caught a touchdown on the first drive of the game as a starter in his first career start. So you're going to figure out what the weaknesses and the holes are of your team against a team like LSU. And I love that opportunity and challenge for Clemson. I really do.
No, as do I. It's with all of the praise that's going to be thrown upon this team over the course of the next 2 months for all the national title picks and all of that. Yeah, absolutely. You want to go out and see what you have.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's get to some NBA news. 654 Roar is the number, and this relates directly to Clemson. So PJ Hall was let go by the Denver Nuggets a couple days ago. Tony Jones of The Athletic reported that reports that the Nuggets released Hall on Saturday. It was officially reported on Sunday, and he's going to explore other opportunities. He signed a two-way contract with the Nuggets last July. He played really, really well in the G League and didn't do much in the NBA in very limited action. So now PJ is going to be looking for another landing spot related to next season. I assume he will have an immense amount of interest as far as two-way contract interest goes, because PJ was a dog in the G League last year, man. I mean, you're talking about a guy in PJ Hall last year that played 31 minutes a night in the G League for the Grand Rapids Gold. He averaged 19 points a night on 49% from the field, 35% from three, 84% from the charity stripe, almost 13 rebounds a game to go with that as well, two assists, a block, and a steal. He was phenomenal. He's clearly good enough to be an all-star caliber player in the G League. As far as what the long-term and short-term future looks like in the NBA, to be frank, I'm not sure. I don't know enough about the world of the G League and how those players are valued as far as realistic path to being in an NBA rotation goes. It's something you see pretty seldom in the 2025 NBA. Not to say it can't be done by PJ or others, but this feels like a situation to me, John, where he's probably just going to go sign another two-way contract with a team across the league and see where he ends up landing. But I don't know if I have any more thoughts outside of that on PJ Hall. I thought he was phenomenal last year for Grand Rapids and just never really got a shake with the Denver Nuggets, which, again, when your center is the best player on the planet and Nikola Jokic, how far is PJ Hall realistically going to work his way up the ladder at a place like Denver? You know what I'm saying? So selfishly and rooting for my friend, I want PJ to go to the worst team in the NBA next year, so he has a more direct path to playing time to prove that he can cut it at an NBA level and maybe get himself on a permanent contract or a multi-year contract to ink that deal. So
you're telling him to take the Ace Bailey route?
Yeah. Well, for a player like this in this circumstance, I'm rooting for Brooklyn. I'm rooting for New Orleans. I'm rooting for Utah. Like, give me somebody that's got a direct path to getting on the court in NBA games, because PJ can play as well as he wants to play in the G League, but if he's not getting a chance to showcase his talents at the NBA level, then a two-way is only doing you so much good at that point, if that makes sense. So I'm rooting for PJ Hall to go to a really, really bad team. As weird as that sounds, I just want him to have a more direct sort of path to playing time at the NBA level to prove that he can play at the NBA level.
So can you give us a little bit of a Cliff Notes version as to what has gone on so far with the NBA free agency, because it's happening, but it hasn't happened yet, but it starts tonight, but we already have announcements and we already have deals, but things haven't happened yet. And then kind of maybe a little bit of preview as to what's to come over the next couple days here.
Yeah, for sure. NBA free agency talk, 654 Roar if you want to get in. So as far as moves that have already been made, obviously it goes without saying that nothing can officially happen yet because of the deadline and whatnot. As of last night, DeAndre Ayton got bought out by the Portland Trailblazers. He's expected to be one of the top free agents on the market. The Lakers are in on him. The Rockets last night extended Jabari Smith Jr. 5-year, $122 million rookie extension, which a lot of people think is overpaid, but what people don't realize at the NBA is that there really aren't bad contracts anymore with how much the cap is increasing each year, which is a weird dynamic, but it's the truth. Like, when Jalen Brunson signed that contract, everybody was like, oh my gosh, this is one of the worst contracts in NBA history, and he ended up being really good. Right. And now when you look at his deal and compared to some of the other max superstars across the league, he's getting pennies on a dollar because the cap continues to increase and the max slot and allocation continues to increase year to year. So there are going to be some people that get some contracts where you scratch your head and you go, wow, that guy's getting that much money. The cap's going to go up and it really doesn't matter that much, is what I would say to the people that aren't super familiar with the NBA. A bad contract never looks as bad as it does the moment it's signed, would be my overall takeaway from that. Now, in what we're anticipating to see, I'm mad at Shams. We were told this was going to be the craziest offseason in the history of the NBA. Like, nothing has happened. Nothing has happened. As far as top, has there been a top 20 player in the league that's been relocated? No. Has there been a top 30 player in the league that's been relocated? Not that I can think of, no. So it's frustrating right now to see the lack of excitement in the NBA world.
But we have excitement in the NFL world, Faxon.
Uh-oh.
Breaking news.
Uh-oh.
Jalen Ramsey has been traded.
Oh, my gosh. Where?
Pittsburgh.
Are you serious?
Yep. This is from Ian Rappaport right now.
Let's
the Dolphins and Steelers have finalized a trade to send Jalen Ramsey to Pittsburgh, telling Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero. Ramsey's adjusted contract includes a $1.5 million raise this season, making his salary 26.6 this year. Pittsburgh loading up on the defensive side of the ball.
Okay, John, we're going to take an early break. Your floor on the other side of a quick break here. Breaking news in the NFL world. John's Pittsburgh Steelers have just picked up an all-pro caliber cornerback in Jalen Ramsey. And the Steelers look a lot better right now than they did a month ago this time, folks. They've got a revamped roster, a really good defense, and Aaron Rodgers at the head of the snake playing quarterback. Steelers got a lot better. Ravens making moves, Steelers making moves, Bengals making moves. That division's shaping up to be a war. We'll break it all down on the other side of a quick break here on The Roar with Faxon and John. Once again, breaking news of Jalen Ramsey going to the Steelers. John breaks it down right after this.
Actual price will depend on product and subscription plan. Featured products or compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription products require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. See website for details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Want to boost in and out of the bedroom? Hims has you covered. Introducing a new 2-in-1 approach to level up your game. Tadalafil for better bedroom performance and zinc for testosterone support. Put it all together and you've got what you need to turn things all the way up. Getting started is simple. Just go to hims.com/radio to start your free online visit. Through Hims, you can access ED treatments, including pills, chews, and more, 100% online. No office visits, no pharmacy lines. Just fill out a simple intake form, and a licensed medical provider will determine if treatment's right for you. If prescribed, it ships free and discreetly to your door. Find affordable treatment options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
Missing shingles, granules in your gutters, or water staining on your ceiling are all warning signs, visual cues that your roof is in need of repair. The next time you check your mail or back out of your driveway, take a glance at your roof, make note of any damage, and call Adams & Co. Roofing for a free no-obligation roof inspection. Adams & Co. Roofing's expert team members will assess the damage and provide top-quality repairs if needed to keep your roof and everything under it safe and sound. Don't wait for a small issue to become a big problem. Call Adams & Co. Roofing today.
Are you looking to take your lawn to the next level in 2025? At Carolina Top Dressing, we are committed to serving the upstate and bringing golf course-type practices to your home, including aeration, top dressing, dethatching, and soil conditioning. Also, ask us about our latest top dressing amendment, Carolina Mix, or sign up for any of our turf services by visiting us at carolinatopdressing.com for your free quote. And as always, go Tigers!
At Toyota of Easley, now is the best time to get a new Toyota Tundra or Tacoma with financing rates as low as 1.99%. We have a huge selection of trucks on the lot and many certified used trucks as well for pleasure or business. Toyota of Easley has the truck that will work for you. Hurry on over and pick out the truck you need today. Call 864-855-2233 to make an appointment or shop toyotaofeasley.com or stop in for a test drive today.
No one wants it to happen to them, but unfortunately, chances are good that at some point, it'll happen to you. Roof troubles. It's one of the most important parts of your biggest investment. So when you need repairs or a new installation, you need someone who you can trust to get the job done right. You need Joe Robertson & Son Roofing.
As a family-owned and operated roofing company since 1965, Joe Robertson & Son have built a reputation for quality craftsmanship. It's why thousands of upstate home and business owners have chosen them for their roofing needs. Beyond providing quality work they're proud to stand by, Joe Robertson & Son Roofing also takes a client-first approach to their job. That means quality roofing, fair pricing, and complete customer satisfaction. Put it all together, and it's easy to see why they're the upstate's premier roofing provider.
You can't cut corners when it comes to roof repairs and installation, so go with the trusted name in the upstate. Go with Joe Robertson & Son Roofing. Get started today by visiting them online at robertsonroofing.net.
your home for the Upstate's best sports talk radio 24 hours a day.
You guys are the best station in town.
You got the best radio station going.
You guys are the best, man.
We are the Roar, part of the ESPN family.
We welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Faxon and John continues right here on the Roar, 654 Roar. If you want to hop in on some NFL breaking news, as of legitimately 4 minutes ago, Jalen Ramsey is a Pittsburgh Steeler. And John, your team is looking a lot better than it was a month ago with recent acquisitions of DK Metcalf, Robert Woods, Aaron Rodgers, Darius Slay, and now the cherry on top, if you will, Jalen Ramsey. Steelers have got a 10-plus win club. That looks for certain if they stay primarily healthy. But where are you at right now on your Steelers after a big-time star acquisition?
That list of names would have been even sweeter in 2019.
that's true.
I like the move. We have not seen what the Steelers have given up in order to acquire Jalen Ramsey's services. But I love the move. You're now putting together a defense. We're just list some names here. T.J. Watt, Cam Hayward, Derek Harmon, Alex Highsmith, Patrick Queen, Peyton Wilson, Jalen Ramsey, Darius Slay, Joey Porter Jr., Mika Fitzpatrick, Deshaun Elliott, Beanie Bishop Jr. Hello. That's a defense right there. You have a cornerback room of Joey Porter Jr., Darius Slay, and Jalen Ramsey, without even including Beanie Bishop, who is a fantastic nickel for you, which is probably now Darius Slay's job.
Yeah.
On paper, I love this defense. And it makes sense to make a move like this. One, real quick on the Dolphins side of things, all 14 captains from the 25 season are now gone. Teron Armstead, Calais Campbell, David Long Jr., and now Jalen Ramsey. All 14 captains from last year's team are all gone. But go and look at what the other three teams in this division did. Cleveland has 14 quarterbacks. Okay, makes sense to load up on your secondary. But the two teams that you have to compete with and contend with, look at the passing games and the wide receiver rooms of both Baltimore and Cincinnati. You had to make this move, because I don't believe with the offense that you're rolling out in 2025 is going to outscore those units. So if you believe you want to win this division and make a run in the playoffs, you need to be going, trying to win a lot of games 14-10. 17-14.
Yeah.
This is a move that helps you get in that type of a situation. I don't know what the contract fully looks like, and we don't know what the Steelers had to give up in order to get Jalen Ramsey. But I like the fact that this team is kind of going for it here.
So
there's some pause and reservation because you're going for it with Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
But I also feel like you're making this move, well, not just 25 in mind, that you want to have a top-flight defense for when you go out in the draft next spring and take a quarterback, that you have one of the league's best defenses opposite him.
Yeah. So here are some of the financial implications and maybe some more, you know, clarity as to why the Dolphins did this. So since the Dolphins waited after June 1st, they only have to bite a $6.7 million bullet with dead cap instead of $25 million in dead cap if they would have traded him before June 1st. So they waited to make this deal, and the GM said that Ramsey didn't request a trade, but the direct quote from Greer is, "We decided that it was probably in best interest for all parties to move forward." Ramsey was given a 3-year, $72.3 million extension before the 2024 season. His contract is fully guaranteed for $25.1 million in 2025, which will also include a $1.5 million raise to $26.6 million in 2025 as a part of the trade. So his deal is off the books after next season. Again, short-term deal for the Steelers being a 2-year deal. There's not a ton of risk that comes with acquiring a guy like Jalen Ramsey. Like, I get it, $25 million is a pretty penny, but it's off the books in 2 years. It's no big deal. It's no sweat off your back if you're ownership, and you're going to have that cap space available to you in 2 more years, or maybe you re-sign him if he's still got a little bit of juice in the tank. But My overall takeaway is, number one, I got to see the return. And number two, Pittsburgh just got a top five corner in the National Football League. Like, that's a big freaking deal, guys. And they've rounded out one of the best defenses in the NFL. Maybe, like, is this the second or third best defense in the NFL right now? I think I'd only take Denver above Pittsburgh as of right now in this current moment. I would put Pittsburgh comfortably in the top 3 to 5 defenses in the NFL. And I would probably be a little bit more bullish than towards the back end of that top five. I'd have them 2 or 3. Right now in the whole league.
They certainly need to be in that conversation near the top. You know, now it's up to the offense to respond. But I think from a personnel standpoint, you've done everything you could possibly do this offseason for the defense.
Yeah. We're getting a little bit more information now on what a potential package would look like. I'm trying to stay up to date with everything, but it can be difficult. So we don't have anything confirmed. People are speculating that there could be some picks. When we have an updated package for you guys that is confirmed by a national outlet, we'll update you. But as of right now, the only confirmed information we have is that Jalen Ramsey is headed to Pittsburgh. And if I were John's excited, I can't blame him, man. That's a big-time player. Okay, I do want to ask this question because Texter 866 brings it up, and I knew we were going to get the text at some point about how toxic is the locker room now. I will say this. If there is anybody in football equipped to temper all of these egos, I think I would take Mike Tomlin 1-1 over any of the other coaches in the league.
Today on June 30th, the locker room isn't toxic at all.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just, where are we on October 30th?
Yeah. Where are you to start the year 2-3?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If there's a losing streak that comes in, that's when things, you know, if guys aren't seeing the snaps that they want to see or what have you. I think right now everyone's feeling great. He just got a little bit of a raise. You're going to a team that feels like it's operating as trying to contend versus the Dolphins, which I have no idea what they're trying to do right now. No clue what the plan is for the Miami Dolphins in the short or the long term. It's like they signed Tua and they're like, all right, now what do we do?
I was going to say that Tua money's got to get off the books.
There is no real plan or purpose with this Miami franchise right now. But there is no toxicity in this locker room right now. Talk to me again in 4 months. That's when it'll be showing up.
Yeah, for sure. And Texter gets in on a take that I agree with. I don't know how popular it would be, but getting George Pickens out will be a big positive impact. I agree with this. I think that he is more of a locker room and selfish issue than Aaron Rodgers or Jalen Ramsey.
I agree with it because of the personnel that you've acquired.
Yes.
Because you have a DK Metcalf, you have a Robert Woods, you have Aaron Rodgers. Like, you've gone out and got very seasoned veterans.
You've replaced him adequately enough to where that can be framed as a positive now, so, that you get rid of the off-the-field stuff and you've replaced him with a better player on the field.
So you've brought in a lot of new pieces into this receiver room. Like, you don't have to... There's no reason to deal with the drama of a 24-year-old. Like, this team's going for it all right now, it seems like, with the veterans that they are acquiring. There's no need to put that in there.
Yeah.
Let that go be Dallas's problem to figure out the next contract.
Yeah, agreed. Texter 255 gets in and says, sitting on the beach in the Bahamas listening to you guys. Thankful for the Roar app. Man, we appreciate you. You're making us a part of your vacation. That puts a smile on my face, 255. Get yourself a 10, man. Get yourself a 10. Enjoy the Bahamas. Maybe get you a little pina colada. Great times down in the Bahamas, I'm sure. So we appreciate you, 255. Noah said it's not 2017. Yeah, if this was 2017, I would be, you know, run into the bank for the Steelers to win the Super Bowl with Aaron Rodgers, Jalen Ramsey, all these dudes. But I still think in 2025, like, this team's got some juice and they can go a little bit, man. I really do believe that. This team's got a little bit of juice. And there's a little bit of the wind in the sail right now, and there's a little bit of momentum, which is not something that's been super common for a Steelers team that, let's face it, they haven't been in decline, but they've stagnated over the last decade. This is positive trajectory and positive momentum. And, John, I know I'm not a fan. I know I'm not as closely tapped in as you are, but do you think that's a fair way to frame it, which is over the last decade, this team has been consistently good, but they've stagnated. They've hit a wall a little bit about what they can be with their current core of players. So this offseason, they blow it up. They shake it up. They're giving big contracts to new young players. They're making trades. They're signing free agents. They're doing things that we usually don't see the Rooneys and the Steelers do. But this feels like this is the first time in a while where there's some traction and there's some positive momentum for Pittsburgh to potentially ascend themselves into that next status of a contender level in this league.
Potentially.
Potentially.
What's the definition of insanity?
doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Okay, so you had to kind of blow it up a little bit.
You had to shake it
up.
You
had to
shake
some things up. You couldn't let Mason Rudolph to George Pickens to Jaylen Warren be the solution for this year. I love the approach because to me there's either two things are going to happen. You get all these old veterans, and I agree with Noah 100%. That's why I said this would even be a better signing if this was in 2019. This is several years too late. But I think if you're the Steelers, this accomplishes two things. One, you can win some games in the postseason, which would be great because you've lost eight playoff games in a row. Or two, that everybody's final ride as a professional football player doesn't go according to plan. You cut bait with a lot of these guys and you get good draft picks.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that there was a situation. And listen, if you're trying to get the TJ Watt contract done, you need to show to him that you're trying to win. I get it. It makes a ton of sense. Listen, this could all blow up in their face, and then you're staring in, down the barrel of a rebuild. All right, well, this team kind of needs it anyways.
Yeah.
On the offensive side of the ball. I love this. You either go for it and win some games here this year, or you just kind of blow everything up and let all these veterans go on about their merry way.
Another texter gets in and says, I think the Steelers had a great draft. Several guys can contribute day one. Agree. Like, I am tentatively starting to buy into this from Pittsburgh. Their defense on paper looks freaking loaded. They've made great moves throughout the course of the offseason. Now it's about putting up or shutting up, right? You got to go out there and you got to win football games. And that's what this is about in this league on a week-to-week basis, where it's harder to do than any other league in the world. It's harder to win in the NFL on a week-to-week basis than it is in any other sport in any other league in the world. And I will say this one thing about the Steelers. The Steelers have a lot of guys with winning experience on this team. I know that Rodgers only has one Super Bowl, right? And we can poke fun at him. Rodgers has won 12 games consistently for how long? He rolls out of bed and wins 11 games at playing quarterback, at least when he was in Green Bay. On defense, you have Super Bowl champions like Darius Slay. You have Super Bowl champions like Jalen Ramsey. You have guys that have walked the walk in this league and knows what it takes to get to the top of the mountain and win a Super Bowl. I'm not saying the Steelers get to that point this year, next, or anytime in the near future, but you've got winners on this team.
Peter Schrager of ESPN, I agree with Perch, I think you just said there. I think kind of backs up your point. You don't go and acquire Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf, and Darius Slay if you don't have serious Super Bowl aspirations.
Yeah.
These are all-in moves. Whether they are or not, Pittsburgh believes that they are close.
Agreed. Like, you don't make these moves unless you think you can get a chance at this thing next year. You don't. And that's the reality of the situation. So
we may not agree nationally, locally, whatever, that the Steelers are close, but they believe in their front office that they are.
And that building, you bet your butt that they think they're close, because you're not making those moves if you don't think you're close. We got like 4 minutes until break. Let's get Jerry from Anderson in here. Jerry, always a pleasure, man. Good to hear your voice.
Hey, Fats. How you doing? I got a question for John. And again, I'm going to say this too, and y'all both understand that I'm a Cowboy fan, but I'm also a realistic Cowboy fan that we're a train wreck. When Dak is healthy, Dallas has won 10 and 12 games a year, too.
That's true.
So, and I'm not a big Aaron Rodgers guy. And so, what is your expectation, John, with Rodgers, knowing that more likely it's just 1 year?
Yeah, it's just going to be 1 year.
And for 1 year, what is your expectation? For me, he'd have to at least get to the AFC Championship. I don't know. I don't even know who the other quarterback is anymore, John.
I mean,
Fields is gone.
It would be Mason Rudolph. I don't. To me, it's more about just seeing. Like right now, if he can play the whole season, if he can play productive football throughout the course of the season, because you saw with very poor quarterback play between Fields and Wilson, you could get to the playoffs. So I think you're hoping that if he can stay healthy and just kind of play point guard with the pieces you've acquired, that the sum of the parts will get you there. I don't think it's going to be Aaron Rodgers carrying this team anywhere.
Wait,
I think it's more of like a sum of the parts thing.
Hold on. I hate to interrupt both of y'all. This is a one-for-one trade of Minka for Ramsey straight up. This has just been confirmed by Adam Schefter. The Steelers have traded three-time All-Pro safety Minka Fitzpatrick to the Dolphins in exchange for three-time All-Pro corner Jalen Ramsey, the rare player-for-player trade. So this is a swap deal of Minka for Ramsey. What? That kind of changes my opinion on this. Maybe not changes my opinion wholeheartedly, but I guess, really? So they have traded, I'll reiterate, sorry to cut you off, Jerry and John, this is a one-for-one swap deal of Minka Fitzpatrick for Jalen Ramsey. So the Dolphins have acquired Minka Fitzpatrick going the other way.
I don't feel as good about the trade now.
That's crazy.
I like them as a combo piece, not a one-for-one. Yeah, I...
He's got some age on him, doesn't he?
Yeah, Ramsey's got some age and some injury concerns, and when I look at Minka Fitzpatrick, you know, Minka's only 28. So there's not some massive gap in age. Like, what's Ramsey, like 31? I'm guessing there. Let me check on that.
I mean, I felt like they were both in college around the same time.
Ramsey will be turning 31, and Minka will be turning 29. So there's only a two-year age gap, and the contract valuations are similar. They're different positions, but in the same position group. You know what, Jerry? We're going to take a break, but I don't want to cut you off because we had more breaking news in the middle of your call. Are you good if I put you on hold and you want to get back in with us?
I'll call you back.
Okay, yeah. We'll put you on hold real quick. Yeah, we appreciate you, Jerry. So we'll get Jerry back in the upcoming hour. John, I'm going to read off this Fort Hill. We're gonna talk about Fort Hill. I'm going to give you a second to collect your thoughts, and you can bring us back from break in the third hour because we reiterate a superstar blockbuster NFL 10:30 a.m. news dump of Minka Fitzpatrick for Jalen Ramsey straight up. And that note, guys, if that's an indicator that football season's approaching, I don't know what is. And for football season, you need to go with Fort Hill Natural Gas as your natural gas provider. There's nothing better than cheering on your favorite team in the comfort of your home with family and friends. And at Fort Hill Natural Gas, they are there to make your game day even better. Imagine firing up the grill for those perfect burgers and brats. You're going to have the cool air breezing in the months of October, and you're going to be watching Jalen Ramsey play for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Why would you not want to do that with Fort Hill Natural Gas? Any season, Fort Hill Natural Gas is your MVP. It's fast, it's reliable, it's ready to fuel your fun. And Fort Hill Natural Gas, you can check them out at fhnga.com and score big on some savings today. We talk through the NFL blockbuster in hour number three on the Roar.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM 1560, Cal.